Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. This show is so much fun to do because you get to talk to so many different people, and this morning is no different. We are talking with someone whose father's a legend in the outdoor world and who is making a name for herself. And you could just describe her in so many words, but the word that comes to mind when I think of Eva Shockey is gracious, because she is gracious enough to take time out of her busy schedule to be here this morning. Eva, welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're, you know, when I emailed you about coming on, you were sure I'd be love to do it. And I have my daughter Taylor here with me, who is real excited to talk to you too, Taylor.
Hey, Eva, how you doing?
Good. How are you, Taylor?
Good.
Take just a moment, because, you know, some of my listeners may know you, may not know you, and tell us who you are and what your dad does, and just a little background information for us.
Sure. My name is Eva Shockey, as you already said. My dad has had outdoor TV shows pretty much my whole life. I grew up around cameras and traveling and doing all kinds of hunting adventures around the world. And we also are outfitters for hunting areas. So we have an outfitting area in the Yukon where we take clients, and Saskatchewan and Vancouver Island. And over the years, there's been a bunch of other ones kind of come and go. And so I basically just been brought up in the outdoors. And I started hunting a little later on in life. I didn't hunt till after university. My mom was not a hunter, and I was like, well, if she's a girl and she's not a hunter, I'm not going to be a hunter. But I didn't realize I can be a girl and still be a hunter and not have to choose one or the other. So I started hunting, and now I basically haven't stopped in the last 8 years.
And tell me, I keep up with you on Facebook from time to time. Now you're about 6.5, 7 months pregnant, and you're fixing to go elk hunting, right?
Yes. I'm 6.5 months pregnant, and for the first time, first child, and I have an elk hunt in 2 weeks. So I'll be 7 months pregnant in New Mexico, up in 9,000 or 8,000 feet elevation or something. I'm not sure exactly, but I don't think it's going to be my easiest hunt, that's for sure.
Oh, I can probably assure you it won't be your easiest hunt, but I think you're just really trying to get a head start on bringing this child up in the outdoors, aren't you?
Yeah, well, I think I know that I was raised in the outdoors, and I was kind of brought along and treated just like, you know, they wanted to go on a trip and they thought it was good for kids to experience that. And I did experience that growing up, and I really appreciated it. So hopefully my husband and I can kind of follow the same suit and bring our kids out and show them things that you wouldn't necessarily do unless you challenge yourself a little bit and know it's not going to be the easiest thing to do with children, or you could do it by yourself a lot easier, but it's a pretty cool thing to do when you're growing up.
Yeah, it is. It is. You mentioned you know, growing up around the outdoors and all, but you really didn't start, and this answer may come as a surprise to some people that are listening, you really didn't get into hunting until later in your life. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Yeah, so my dad obviously has been a hunter my whole life, and his whole life, and his grandfather's before him. But in our family, it's just sort of been a male thing, and okay. It's not a male thing in any way, like females can't do it. It's just there haven't been any females that have got into hunting in my family. And my mom she's actually a vegetarian ballerina when she met my dad. So she is about as opposite of hunting as you can get, short of being an anti-hunter.
Sure,
she's on the far end, though. So I just grew up, dancing. I was a competitive dancer. I played every sport, and I was very close with my mom. And I just kind of figured, well, she's so feminine and ladylike, I want to be like her. And if she doesn't hunt, so I'm not going to hunt either. And I never really, it wasn't that I hated it. I loved eating the meat. I loved hearing about the stories and going on trips. I just didn't want to hunt myself. And I went to university, and I graduated, and I came home, and I realized that the big difference was when you're not around hunting. And I went to university far from home. I realized I couldn't fill my freezer with wild game unless I'm going hunting, because I can't always go into dad's freezer and try to take his elk or moose or whatever he has in there. So I basically came home and said, Dad, I want to learn more about what you do. I want to try hunting, and I'd like to be able to provide my meat for myself so I know where it comes from. And that was the initial start to hunting. And okay. I never, not with the intention of doing it as a job or following his footsteps or anything. It was just that I wanted to try it out, and it just kind of led to where it is today.
And today it is your life.
Yes, definitely. It's just been such an incredible journey because I think there were some spots in the outdoor industry and they needed more female hunters to mm-hmm. voice their opinions about how great hunting was. And I kind of filled one of those. There were plenty of others before me that did an incredible job and are still doing an incredible job. And I've had them to look up to, like Tiffany Lukowski from The Crush. She's a right. good friend of mine. And she's always done a really good job at representing female hunters, but it was just, I don't know, something God sort of led me on the right path that I was doing what I love doing and people were accepting it. And it just more and more people thought it was a good thing. And yeah. I don't know, I just seem to somehow be able to pay my bills by doing it, which is absolutely incredible.
Yeah, and you often hear in the outdoor world, if you don't get them by the age of 12, you've lost them forever. And we're finding out more and more that's not true because you're a prime example of it. You're around it, you know, kind of, okay, that's cool and all, but you didn't start it until later in life. And I think that's, to a lot of people, that gives us some hope that maybe we haven't lost a whole generation, that we can get them later in life when they've got some time, some spendable thing, and say, wow, that's pretty cool to do. I might try that.
Yeah, I think so. I've never heard that stat before, but I can imagine that a lot of people probably do think that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was opposite in our family. It was, if anything, it was that I was just really busy when I was growing up, and I had a lot of stuff. I mean, every tailor, I'm sure, is familiar with this. Lots of activities and schoolwork and homework and sports. I was really into sports, and I just didn't have the time to go on a hunt. And I don't know why. It just wasn't something that appealed to me. But when I got older and I really could stop and look at the big picture of what's healthy and what do I want to put into my body and how do I want to spend my free time and
sure.
where do I want to go in the world and experience, I think it's actually a positive thing to be a little older because you have the ability to recognize all those aspects and really appreciate hunting and all that it involves for what it is.
Well, there you go, folks. When you're out there, you've got kids, you know, just expose them to it. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to take it at a young age, but they might come back around to it later on in life. And I know Eva, I'm going to turn this over to my co-host because she came up with a couple of questions that, and I told her when we were doing this interview, I said, I want you to get involved in this because this is two daughters whose dads hunt and get them outdoors. And I want to hear some from your standpoint. So I'm going to turn it over to Taylor and she's going to carry you for a few minutes here on her own.
Okay. Well, my first question is like, I've had a lot of people give me grief because I'm a girl that likes to hunt, and I'm sure you sometimes get grief like that, but how would you respond if you were in my shoes?
You know, I think at the end of the day, people are maybe falling into the same old school mentality and stereotype that hunting's for boys, which it's absolutely not. There's
yeah.
nothing about hunting that is more for boys than for girls, which I honestly believe.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes they're a little bit intimidated because maybe they think you'll be better than them or be a better shot. If my dad will tell anyone who asks that he truly believes women or girls are better shots than guys with a gun. And that's because when we learn something, oftentimes girls will listen to the instruction and listen and take it in and really acknowledge what's being
yeah.
taught to them, and then they'll put it into practice, whereas I think a lot of the guys are like, no, I've got this, I know what I'm doing, and they don't listen. And that's my dad says that's honestly in our experience. I mean, I can literally, in a high-pressure situation, his experience definitely trumps me, but in a controlled situation, I can shoot better than him. And he's done it for 30 years, and it's just something that if people are saying, oh, making fun of you for being a female that loves to hunt, it could be a little bit of jealousy, a little bit of nervousness. A lot of times they just don't fully understand what it is you love about it. And I like to take a moment and explain to them, like, I want to see where my food comes from. I love being in the outdoors. I love providing meat for myself and my family. And Taylor, when you get older, it could be, if you ever decide to have children, it's something that's very important to me that I feed my husband and my family
yeah.
meat that we understand exactly sort of the life it came from. It wasn't an industrial cattle farm where it had pesticides and everything in it,
yeah.
which there's some great farming practices around the world. Farming is great if it's done a certain way, but when you're a hunter, you know that this animal has had a free life. And I guess just explaining to them why you love it and not getting distracted by them bullying or what they're saying and
yeah.
just being proud of who you are and standing up for what you love.
Yeah.
Your first thought that boys are intimidated by girls that hunt, I do believe that is true. And I also believe that they pick it up faster. Taylor shoots the National Archery and School Program. She started at 11 years old. She started competitive archery shooting, and she's very good at it. And I think girls, you're right, girls tend to come into it with no preconceived notions. Boys come into it with, I got this.
Yeah.
Which, again, is I'm stereotyping boys, so that's not really fair either, but I do agree with you that when I go in, I don't, even if at this stage in my hunting career, you're never going to catch me going into a situation where someone's more educated than me and me pretending like I know more than them. I want to learn from them. I want to follow their advice. I want to listen to them. I mean, I might not always take it forever, but at least I'll acknowledge what they're saying. And I think that's sort of a female mentality that we just want to be the best by learning from other people. I think it's, at least I'll speak for myself, it's how I function and a lot of women that I know.
I agree with you there.
So our dads have already wanted to take us outside, and that's been their main goal, is to keep us outside and in the outdoors. But for other dads that haven't started on this yet, do you have any advice for them if they want to take their kids hunting, like how to get them started on it? Do you have any advice for them?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think the biggest thing is it doesn't have to be a dad. It can be definitely a mom. I plan to be the mom and bring our babies out whenever they're a little bit older.
Yeah.
Preferably not while I'm still pregnant. Probably when the baby's actually a few years old. But it can be the mom, the grandfather, the grandmother, the aunt, the brother, the sister. I mean, as long as they're old enough that it's legal and they understand what they're doing, it's a great thing. I think if that mentor, older person, is not familiar with the outdoors and with guns and hunting and all that kind of thing, obviously they need to learn too, and it's never too late to learn, but things like joining your local archery club or taking your hunter education course or joining your local SDI, Safari Club International, or Ducks Unlimited Foundation, and going to banquets and going to events, those are usually what I suggest for people that aren't super familiar, or if they are, it's also a great thing to do. But if they're not familiar with it, generally there are a lot of people there that can help them out and teach them and share information, and they'll make friends that are in the hunting industry or hunting world, and it just kind of snowballs from there. Once you know somebody, that person will introduce you to somebody, and every hunter that I know loves when new hunters get involved, so it's generally a pretty supportive atmosphere. But just learning the ropes is kind of the first step, and I think taking your hunter safety course is a great one to start with to make sure that you're all in line and you follow all the rules. And then I would just say join a local club or bring your kids to it and just get them involved.
So there have only been two women on the cover of Field and Stream, Queen Elizabeth and you. I mean, that's amazing. What did that mean to you?
Yeah, that was very, very cool. It was a few years ago. I was in Russia at the time. My husband was playing. He was a professional hockey player, and he was playing in the Russian Hockey League. He's a Canadian guy, so we were living over there far from home, and I got an email from, I think it was through my agent, but from Field and Stream, and they said, we really want Eva on the cover issue, and she come do a photo shoot. And I remember reading and thinking, there's no way that's what they meant. Like, maybe they meant I was going to be in the magazine, and there was just maybe my name would be on the cover, like something saying Eva, if there's an issue or an article inside about her. And I just didn't think there's no way that they actually mean cover. So I wrote back an email like, is this serious? Is this what they mean? Which even being in the magazine was an incredible thing. And I was very excited about that. And they wrote back and they're like, no, we really do mean the cover, but we need you here next week for the photo shoot. And so I flew all the way from Russia to New York City for the photo shoot. And it was, I think, 35 hours of flying, and then I got there, did the photo shoot for, I think it was maybe 8 or 10 hours, and I got right back on a plane and flew 35 hours back to Russia, which you can probably imagine is not something I would do for any less of a big deal in my life, because that's obviously a lot of traveling. But it was just incredible, because I really believe it wasn't that, oh, they want Eva Shockey on the cover. It wasn't because of me, of who I am or anything like that. It was that I was representing the theme of the magazine, which is what's next, like what's coming up next in the hunting industry or the outdoor world. And they were showing that what's next is female hunters, female enthusiasts, females that love getting outside, sort of strong, independent personalities. And I was just representing all of those women. And it was pretty incredible. And a huge honor to be able to be in that position that they're recognizing women as up and coming demographic in hunting, which is absolutely true. We're the fastest growing demographic in hunting.
You know, if you've got I know you're stressed for time and all. If you've got, take just a minute and tell us why you think there is such a blossoming segment of the population that are women that are getting involved in hunting.
I think it's a combination of probably a bunch of things. A big thing that's really helped with women getting involved, I would say, is probably social media, which it can definitely be good or bad depending how you look at it, but it's really allowed people to access other hunters that they find interesting and follow them and follow their adventure. And whether they follow me or they follow Tiffany or they follow Taylor Drury or a handful of other girls that are doing really incredible things and really promoting hunting in a great way, it lets girls like Taylor and like other girls her age and of all ages, I guess, really get on there and look and see how great hunting can be and how you can really show it in a positive light. I think a big thing is women are realizing a lot they want to feed their families healthy meat, and wild game is as healthy and lean and pesticide-free as you can really get. So that's a big thing, is just doing that. And I think there's a lot of Outdoor Channel has a lot of TV shows now where women are hosting, and I think that's a big step in the right direction as well. They're showing that women can do whatever guys do. Women are just as capable of being hunters. And because of all these changes, the industry has adapted and they've created products specifically for females and for the female body and for our shape and weight and strength. Like I have a signature series bow, which is for female archers, and it's high end, which has never really been done before. A high end female bow. It's usually, if you want high end, you have to kind of buy the unisex one.
Right.
And then there's guns now that fit women, and clothing. Under Armour makes amazing clothing that fits the women's body. And it's just stuff like that. All those things, I would say, really make us as females feel like we have a place in the industry and feel comfortable, and we're not intruding on a man's sport. It's just as much of our sport as theirs.
Yeah.
Well, I know I have to let you go because you got other things to do, but I think Taylor.
I would stay. I would stay if I didn't have a bunch of meetings scheduled this morning. I apologize.
No. We certainly understand. I know what appointments and schedules are all about. I think Taylor would like to say something to you here at the end.
Thank you so much for taking the time to come talk with us about women in hunting, and you're just such a great role model to me. I want to be so much like you when I get older.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. If you ever get involved in the hunting industry, I think starting your own radio show would be a great start. I can't imagine doing what you're doing when I was 12, so that's awesome.
It's funny. She has somewhat of a little cult following. I know.
I totally believe that. Yeah. I could definitely imagine that.
I got invited to speak at a fly fishing club up in North Carolina, and towards the end, I mean, these are all retired guys, and towards the end, they were like, "Well, Roger, before you wrap up, we want you to tell us a little bit about Taylor," because they'd heard her on the radio show, and I'm like, "Excuse me, you want me to talk about my daughter?"
It's a little bit of deja vu of my dad's career.
Yes, it is. It was just,
why are these people here to see you?
Yes, that's right. Well, look, we just scratched the surface, getting to know you a little bit. I hope at some point down the road we can get you back on and do this again sometime.
That sounds great. I love it.
Well, thank you. Look, best wishes for the next couple of months with your elk hunt, the addition to the family, and know he'll be brought up right. And like I said, we appreciate you coming on, and we'll look forward to having you back on Woods and Water, South Carolina.
Great. Thanks. Have a great day, guys.
Same to you.